presence in this place. Holy Spirit, we're looking to you for help. Help, Lord, for all of us collectively as we go into this time of your word. Help for me as I bring forth this word. And so as I come to ask Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you for fresh mercy. Fresh mercy from your throne, Lord, that will overshadow my preparation and everything that I've done in myself, and enable me to use it effectively to bring forth this word as a word of life, that Lord, as your word comes forth, Lord, it will come forth with power, it will come forth with mercy, it will come with wisdom, it will come with clarity, it will come in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And it will do an eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with the light and the revelation that comes from your Holy Spirit, and indeed our emotions further controlled and taken over by the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are looking to you, Lord God, that as your word comes forth, Lord, under the covering of our spiritual fathers, everywhere this word goes, let it be backed with your power, so that you will through it break yokes. Lord, you will set blind eyes open. Lord, you will cause deaf ears to be unstopped. You will cause the lame to leap as a hart, and the tongue of them to sing for great joy that will come, Lord, through a revival in our lives in the name of Jesus. We are asking you, Lord, for fresh mercy. Help me to be concise and precise in the delivery of the word. Now, Lord, I will not speak my own words. Lord, help me to bring forth this word in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God. So that, Lord God, Lord, your word, Lord, will accomplish all of your good pleasure, Lord, in our midst and in our lives, in Jesus' name. Help me to redeem the time, not to say unnecessary things, but to bring forth as a scribe instructed in the kingdom, things both new and old, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. This word is a spin-off of Pastor's message last week, or was it the week before? God's goodness, your repentance. And I'm an echo. Amen. So there's some things I was saying that obviously Pastor has said. Amen. But that's where to begin. Amen. And I'm proud to be an echo. Amen. All right. So the title of our message this afternoon is Repentance to Salvation. Repentance to Salvation. Repentance is the change of will and mind that a person makes in response to the truth of God's word. And it translates into action, change of action. You can't say that you repent and then you go back to what you were doing before. Now, I know you're sorry, but you're not repentant. Repentance begins with a change in our will, but it must ultimately affect our minds. It must change the way we think. It must change our understanding, change our priorities, as we see later on, and our attitude. Repentance brings about a change in attitude. And if you don't let it affect your mind, then you may well go back to your vomit. The Bible tells us in I'm not turning there because of time. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:15 that if they had opportunity to have returned to that country, that being mindful, if they were mindful of the things that they had, before, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. See, if you say you've changed your will and you don't change your mind, your mind can open you a door that you really won't open, that God said don't open. And then you will say, no, it's God that did it. It's very important because Satan accommodates you. accommodates us. And that's the will of God. That's not the will of God. So it's the will of God for us to repent, to truly change our will and our mind and embrace the truth. Pastor Wigga was talking this morning beautifully about embracing the truth. So repentance, if you look also at Revelation 2:5, he says, I have not found your works perfect. Nevertheless, I have this one thing against you. And he says, repent and do the first works. Revelation 2:5. So you can remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do. Amen. So repentance produces doing. There is, once you repent, we can see it on the outside, first in your attitude and then in the actions that follow the attitude. Amen. Now look at Romans chapter 2 verse 4. We're going to turn to this. And this is one of the scriptures that Pastor mentioned in that message. And I'm reading. Let's read it together. I say, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? If you meditate on the scripture carefully, you will see and understand that it means that God's goodness to us is not necessarily based on right things that we did. Very important. We have that mentality, there is a cause effect in our mind that I do this, I get this back. I do that, I get this back. I do this, I get this back. But when you come into God, you must begin to reorientate your mind and understand you are dealing with a God who is goodness personified. He doesn't know any other way to relate to you except to be good. So when he does some things, Bible says he allows the sun to shine on the good and the evil, yet the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. How do you marry this God? You need to understand that's the kind of person God is. He's love. So when he does some things, he's doing it not necessarily because you deserve it, but because he's hoping that that goodness will make you turn towards him. Amen. And we're living in a time where God is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children back to the fathers so that he can bring a blessing. The blessing, life everlasting, the spirit without measure. Amen. So it's very important that we understand this. And if you look at Psalm 51 verse 10, when David was praying the prayer, he said, create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit. That word renew is particularly important and significant. Renew means that it's a continual process. God keeps renewing a right spirit with you and with me. Amen. Your spirit is right. And when he says spirit, Pastor has taught us that about many times the Bible uses spirit, interchangeably for spirit alone or spirit and soul together. In this case, talking about spirit and more about your soul, spirit and soul together. Amen. When your eye is single. Amen. So really, what he's talking about here is the fact that repentance is a continuous and progressive thing. Amen. You keep repenting until you get to the fullness of Christ. That's why it is repentance to salvation. The salvation here is not being born again. Yes, we repent to get born again. Amen. But then we also repent continually after we are born again to grow up into maturity, have the mind of Christ, and receive our inheritance. Amen. So repentance is continuous and progressive, and it means that we keep aligning ourselves to the will of God. You keep align yourself more and more to the will of God through the word of God that comes to you. And this is so key. But I was talking about suppressing the truth in unrighteousness this morning. See, when you receive the truth, it's God's will being revealed to you, and you are supposed to align to the truth. But our natural nature in ourselves is in John 3:19. The Bible says that this is the condemnation, that light has come and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But he tells you the converse and how to escape. Amen. God never gives you the bad news and leaves you with the bad news. Amen. He tells you the default position that you're in and he tells you how to change it. He says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. I think we should turn to it. John 3:20. Give me verse 20. Thank you. Verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hated light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21. Let's read this together. But he that does what? Doeth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the way to break the chain of keep sinning and sinning and sinning is to do truth. You break it off from the fountainhead. Amen. And then you start walking in righteousness. Amen. So God wants us to understand. So in our decisions, you know, in our relationships, in our priorities, in our habits, in the work that we do, you know, in everything we do with family, in raising our children, everything. You're not supposed to do it your own way. Amen. We are supposed to do it His own way. And it's not going to take you from 0 to 100 like a speed car or like a race car. It's going to take you progressively. Amen. Reveal a little bit more to you, then you do that. Reveal a little bit more to you, then you accept it and you do it. A little bit more to you, then you accept. And progressively, you enter into the fullness of salvation. Amen. That's the will of God for that. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. Amen. And look at Psalm 7, Psalm 19, verse 7 to 14. Because the word of God is so important. It is how God really communicates with us. And I want to just read it quickly. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Let's read it together. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Next verse. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord does what? Enlightening the eyes. Next verse. The fear of the Lord is... Mama was sharing with us about fear of the Lord about 3 weeks ago. Enduring for the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Next verse. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Next verse. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is what? Next verse. Who can understand these errors? Cleanse thou me from secret. See, brethren, the word of God does all these things. It will show you statutes. It will show you commandments. It will show you judgments. It will teach you fear. Everything comes from God's word, working inside a sincere heart. Amen. And these are all dimensions of light, dimensions of truth that God keeps revealing to us. Look at verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous. David went to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And he went and presumed that the way the Philistines did it was the way we are also going to do it. You are not like the world. Amen. You are not like the world. You don't copy the world. The world copies you. Amen. So, God, he did it, and it appeared to work for some time until they got to the threshing floor. And then we know what happened. We know the story and all that. Uzziah died and all that. And the Bible says, David, he felt bad. And you may be experiencing that. You're trying to do something, but you're not doing it. You're trying to do God's thing your way. And it doesn't seem to be working. But God is trying to tell you, as you look inward, and look at the word that he is sending to you, and do it his own way and not your own way. Amen. Let's read it on. Let them not have what? Dominion over me. So you can break the dominion of sin by the word, so that you stop sinning. In fact, by the time you wake up in the morning, like Paul says, them that ought to teach you. Why? Because you're already light years ahead of the devil. He's not the one pulling you back every time we sin. You're already living in righteousness, and you're going from righteousness to righteousness to righteousness to righteousness. Amen. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. Where repentance, we've used it in that mindset of when I sin, I repent. And it's correct. It's right. But it's not complete. Repentance is continuous. It's just a change, a resetting in your will and in your mind, and you repent and move on. And after a while, you know, you get to a point where your heart is so malleable in God's hands, you repent and you don't even know you've repented. It's just by force of habit. You just change your mind quickly, and I'm sorry about that, Lord, have mercy on me. And you've done it.
and you are moving on. Amen. So it's not something that you weep and cry. No. Amen. And we are beginning from the, I know we begin from the outer court, you know, we, because you get born again the way you are. Amen. God accepts you the way you are. Bible says the kingdom of God is like a net, a man threw in the water and brought up fish, both good and bad. All right. So there's good and bad, you know, when you come into the kingdom and God takes it the way it is and then begins to work on it. And begins to walk on us. Amen. So this is the will of God. Then I shall be upright. That means you don't bow to sin anymore. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then we get to verse 14, which is my punchline. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It takes strength to really keep your thoughts and your words acceptable. But your help comes from the Lord. Amen. That help to do it comes from the Lord. Amen. So we see, so really, it's not about good intentions. Good intention is good, but you must back intention with decision, determination, and then submission. Decision of the will and submission of the mind. You need both. That's complete repentance. And that takes you in. So we should not be empty. We need to fill ourselves with the word of God. As you can see, it's so important to have the word of God inside you. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all wisdom. It's very important. So the word of God is not just supposed to be something we read every day. Yes, we read every day. But each day you do it, there's a storehouse. Each day you do it, you're depositing. Each day you do it, and you keep depositing. It's a treasure that God now begins to speak to you from. Amen. Amen. And then when you come under covering, you know, in the place that you come under covering of pure, mature spiritual oversight, then what they say, sometimes some things they say, sometimes even they just say it as a statement, you know, and it's like prophecy. It comes to pass. So many times, you know, in relating with pastor and mommy, you know, you find out that, you know, they just say, oh, just do it this way. And you find out that just the way that way, if you didn't do it that way, you would not have been able to get that thing done. Very important. You never know when your life is going to depend on it. And so that's why habitually we must learn to submit to truth that we receive and not remain empty. Amen. But when we're empty, that's not the will of God. And it allows us to go back and forth. And we keep compassing the mountain round and up. I mean, we hear those words, but we're not letting it dwell. Dwell. Dwell means it abides. It resides inside us richly. We should let it reside. That's what God is trying to tell us. And a good example here, you know, is Lot. Look at Genesis 19, verses 17 to 21. Genesis 19, thank you. Right, okay. And so we know the story. Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, you know, Abraham prayed and we find 10 people. And Abraham calculated that there will be 10 people. God has really tried and had mercy. For me to even bring it to 10 people from 50. All right. So we know the story. The angels went there. They got in there and all that. And they got Lot and his family out, and Lot's wife looked back, and then they were about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'll hear what they said. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, the angel, escape for what? Thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. What does he say? Escape to thee, lest thou be. So the only place where he'll be safe is where? All right, next verse. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. He has a contrary opinion. So God listens to what he has to say. Verse 19, can you imagine? Behold now, thy servant has found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Next verse. Behold, now this it is near to flee into. It is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. Who's going to determine whether your soul will live or not? Is it you or is it God? And he said, no, in previous verse, he said, give me mercy, show me grace. Grace and mercy is not an excuse to stay where you want to stay. It's not an excuse for us to do what we want to do. God says, do this, and then you say, ah, no, I can't do that, and you do something less. And nobody knows, just you and God. And that less that you do, you say, God, just have mercy. And let your mercy accept this one for me. You know, I can't do more than this. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. God is trying to tell us that we should fully repent, fully accept the will of God. Lord should have said, it's hard for me. Won't I die? It would have been a different thing. It would have encouraged him. You can do it. Go up there. Or at least be trying to go towards the mountain. And then help will come to take him to the mountain. Amen. Not to tell God, I can't do that. That's too much. Let me stay here. It's okay. Look at verse 21. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also. And I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Mercy. Did he show him mercy? That place was supposed to have been destroyed. So he showed him mercy. But was the mercy good enough? No. Because in the end, he still slept with his daughters. And brought forth Moab and Ammon, which are enemies of Israel up till this day. Children of the flesh. Brethren, if you reject the counsel of God towards you, you will sin one way or another. It may not be the way you are thinking. His own was thinking that I would die. Well, he didn't die. But he died. He still died. Amen. So this is what repentance is all about. It's about turning northward. Don't compass about this mountain. Deuteronomy 2:3. Turn ye northward and go from the outer court into the holy place, from holy place into the most holy place in Zion. That's where we are going. Amen. The highest place. Pastor Gloria said it today. Everywhere else from Jerusalem, you go down. Except Zion, you go up. North. In the sides of the north. Amen. Now, why is it important for us? You know, why is God sending this message to us? We are waiting for the manifestation of the glory of God. Amen. And there's gross darkness in the world. And there is a qualification. God is throwing out an invitation to anybody who wants to respond. Look at Isaiah 28. Verses 5 and 6. Thank you. Isaiah 28. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. So he is a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty unto a residue or a remnant. Now he's going to tell you how you can be part of that remnant. Next verse. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gates. As many as embrace self-judgment and repentance, God is showing them mercy. Remember, the kingdom is judgment, mercy, and faith. You start with judgment, you examine yourself, you look at what you're doing that is not correct, you call it what it is. Call a spade, and then ask God to have mercy on you. And then that mercy takes you deeper into a higher level of faith. And that faith takes you up. All right. So that, or you can put it this way, judgment, mercy, and life is the same thing. So life, you know, faith gives life. All right. Faith gives life. So that life is what gives us the strength to now turn the battle to the gates. So now we are not. Sin is not the one that is an almighty obstacle. We are the ones going after sin. We are speaking with the enemies in the gates. You go to the gates of sin. The gates of sin in our lives. We confront sin. We don't run away from it. It's not your enemy. It is your enemy rather. The person that points out the sin to you is not your enemy. The sin is our enemy. Amen. The situation that came up and whatever, forget about the people. Look at your response and what you did. That is taking the battle to the gates. And you destroy the gates of hell. Bible says the kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. Amen. So you pull down the gates. Samson pulled down the gates. You can be a spiritual Samson. Carry the gates of sin in your life and take it away. Amen. So you stop sinning again. You totally destroy the gate. So Satan doesn't even have any reserve to come back and come and launch a counterattack. You've taken everything, lock, stock, and barrel. Amen. That's the will of God. Amen. Now, how does this work? And we see this in more than one scripture. In Isaiah 4:4, the Bible talks about God removing the filth of Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and burning. We're not turning there. But I want to show you, how can we stop sinning? How can we stop sinning? How can we, the mechanics of repentance, if you like. How does it work? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 to 10 and 11. Now, let's read it together. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrow to repentance. That's that word. For you are made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Godly manner. So it's you're made sorry after a godly manner. So your focus now is God. You're not men. You're not, the Bible says, against thee, David said, against thee only have I sinned this sin. Of course, he didn't sin against him only. He sinned against him first. You understand? But he sinned against Uriah. He sinned against Bathsheba. Bathsheba's uncle helped the whole family. You know, the SU message. You've committed adultery. You sinned against the girl. You sinned against her future husband. You sinned against the person that would, you sinned against her uncle that was attending dedication. You sinned against everybody. So you sinned against them. But the key thing is you sinned against God. God. Don't look at the people there. God. The person I really let down here is God. That's repentance after a godly manner. Next verse. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. That's where I got the message from. Amen. So the repentance, the godly, once you see God, it begins to work repentance that takes you closer to your destiny. That salvation there is not getting born again. It's salvation of your destiny, becoming more like God. Salvation of your soul. Salvation of your body. Your spirit is already born again, but your soul and your body need to be renewed and washed away the sin nature in it by the life and the nature of God and the power of God, so that spirit, soul, and body, you are sanctified. That's what God wants. But the sorrow of the world does what? Worketh death. Next verse. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things, you have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. When you truly repent, it is clear. It is clear to everybody that he has approved himself. He went from far right all the way to far left. He's changed totally. And we see that, okay? All right. So how does this work? You know, if you combine this with Proverbs 28:13, that talks about the fact that, you know, if you cover your sins, you don't prosper. But whoso confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. If you put those together, you know, and the Bible says in Psalm 111:10, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding. Have them that do his commandments. If you put all three together, you get this understanding that when we repent, we come to God, and in the fear of God, God now is the focus. We repent and say, Lord, I made a mistake. I'm not giving any excuses. Help me. I want to be better than this. I am better than this. And I know that you have let you down. Christ lives in me. Bible says that we are not debtors again to live to the flesh. This is not what the scripture says. Help me. And when you repent like that, it attracts mercy. Amen. And that mercy doesn't just come empty-handed. It comes with insight, light, and it comes with strength. So that you can then complete obedience. Good example, Jesus. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. But God said, this is my will. And he said, Lord, help me. And he was praying. In that place of prayer, the Bible says an angel appeared, strengthening him. Amen. And Jesus prayed through. God, why did God put that there? So we can know that we also can do it. In the hard places, don't quickly compromise. And then come and say, God, I'm sorry, sorry. Spending a long time saying sorry, sorry, sorry. But you quickly compromise. And when you compromise, you are compromising in full realization of the fact that this is what I'm doing. Am I speaking to myself? Don't we do it? You would have quickly compromised. No, in that time of compromise, run to the toilet. If you are in the office, or run somewhere and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Don't let my emotions get the better of me. Don't let my feelings, don't let my this situation get the better of me. Help me. And then pray. And God will send help. All of our help is from the... Amen. He's a very present help. In time of... Don't run away in the time of your need. Run to Him. Call on Him. Call on me in the day of trouble. And I will deliver you. Amen. So God wants to glorify us. He wants to make us a royal diadem. This is royal diadem. A diadem of beauty. Amen. So that's the will of God for us. And what does it produce? It begins to produce desire. Zeal. No, it begins to be clear. Take us back to verse 11. When God begins to work in and through you by that mercy, the zeal and desire, you begin to see, God begins to show you that, you are always on top of this thing. Oh, Satan just know how he does, puts a veil in front of our eyes and makes believe as if, this guy sold me a dummy. What does it bring about? Indignation. So I was even on top before. Kai, zeal, vengeance, vehement desire, revenge. How do you revenge? You revenge all disobedience when your own obedience is complete. Amen. We don't war against flesh and blood. We are warring against the sin nature. And we are going to defeat it. And put it under our feet. Including death. Amen. That's the will of God for us, brethren. Amen. So we see. So when you see how Satan has robbed you, it provokes love for God. So you've been telling me the truth all this while. So you love him more. That's fear. Fear of God is love of God. Fear that I love you, Lord. You are angry with the devil, angry with yourself, and definitely you want to get revenge. And so you approve yourself clear in that matter. That's the will of God. If you do that, you are part of that bride company. You are part of that residue. You are part of that remnant. Amen. It's open to everybody. Why are you looking so sad? It's open to you in Jesus' name. You are going to do it now. Don't be rejoicing on the inside. Let me see it on the outside. Smile. Amen. Hallelujah. You are on the winning side. All of your help, is it inside you? Where is it coming from? Where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? At your right hand. Clap for yourselves. Amen. And now, amen. So this is the will of God. Amen. And we see that example of Jesus. We see David also at Ziklag. We're not turning there for time. First Samuel 36, Bible says that David was greatly distressed. The Amalekites had come in, taking their wives, taking their children, taking everything that they had. When they went out fighting, he could have turned and then everybody started blaming him. Sound familiar? People start blaming you. Instead of you to blame your own back and say, pot calling kettle black. What about you? The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Stop. How did he go from being greatly distressed to being suddenly encouraged? What happened? Help. Repentance brings help. Amen. That's the message. Okay, let's move on. All right. Now, second reason is we are in the days of his power. Amen. That was a beautiful testimony by Pastor Lalu earlier today. We are in the days of, and his people shall be willing. But in the same way, when you want to connect power to a new house, you don't carry 33,000 volts and take it straight into the house. Ah, what kind of electrical engineer are you? It's not like that. You take that power down and take it to transformer. You step it down to a transformer. Then from the transformer, they now bring it to the junction box. Then from the junction box, they now run the wire conduits and distribute it to all the points in the house. The power has to be stepped down. So there is an order. They don't just do things anyhow because they're handling power. Same way with this power of God, God is restoring order into the church. Amen. We have to be in complete order. Where does order begin first? Like Pastor Lalu was saying today, no, local church. God is using local church. So God is, so the local church is where there's designated divine authority. You have set man, you have set man, bishops, deacon, and then saints. That order is important because that power is coming. Power is coming down. So you can't, the power you want to use to, on your electric cooker is not the same power that is in the main power grid, that when you are driving around, you begin zzz. That's not the one you need to boil water. It will boil the pot, it will boil the house, it will boil everything that is there. So you have to do it according to divine order. That's what David had to learn. The priests have to bring the ark in. And then when the ark is coming in order, you also have to give 2,000 cubits to the ark. So that you can get power in the right measure to boil water and to root out sin. Amen. I'm using the spiritual and the physical at the same time. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Okay. So so the first thing is integrity of heart. That's the first order. So there's order in the church. Then within the church, in each life, there is integrity of heart. It's order. John 15:4. Pastor Wega shared that with us, during the week when I was talking about fruit. No, except you abide in me and I abide in me, you cannot bring forth fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. You must be connected. And that connection is by integrity of heart. What is integrity? Sincerity of heart and humility of heart or submission. Very important. And then when you are connected, that power begins to flow. Amen. It begins to flow. And when it flows, what happens? Like the fig tree, you begin to see fruit. Fruit before leaves. Beautiful message. Fruit before leaves. Fruit in the fig tree, fruit comes before leaves. Not leaves before fruit. Meaning that it's coming from inside out. Leaves are on the outside. Fruit is coming from the inside. That's how God is. The fruit is coming. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? Psalm 119:9. So we begin to see that the order, having connected in divine order with your heart of integrity, then power begins to flow and begins to produce purity. Because the power must first of all work in you to clean you and I out. Amen. So that then the power can then work through you. But it can't work through us if we are going to act as insulators to the power. So the power has to work in us. It removes the things that offend and the things that represent iniquity. Amen. All right. And then brings forth the love of God. Again, we don't have time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18, you can see right there, in that portion of scripture, you can see the fact that there are different areas of our lives. Areas of where we have fellowship with the wrong things, we have agreement with the wrong things, we have we have different levels of relationship with the wrong things, and God sees them, but still loves you and blesses you. Amen. But it's not an excuse. You have to look inward and correct all those things one at a time. But God is loving, He's merciful, but He's going to get a perfect church. without spots or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. And you are part of that church. So you have to remove the spots, remove the blemish, remove the... Those are all examples of I like the end. Thank you. It says, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's the end of it. Weren't you his son and daughter before? Yes, but not indeed. This one now is indeed. The qualification now, you are qualified now to inherit. Because you are now a son indeed. Amen? Amen. All right. So that's the will of God. And a good analogy for this is seen in 1 Kings 18:30-39. I'm going to hit this really quickly. Just giving us a type about Elijah. You know, in Israel at that time, there was a contention. Israel was halting between two opinions. Is God God or is Baal God? So, Elijah didn't do anything, tried to just use wisdom. He took the battle to the gate. Oh yeah, come, come, all Israel. Come, come. But let's settle this controversy once and for all. When if God is God, we will see it. If Baal is God, we will see it. Let them call down fire. We will have this one. We will call here. They will call here. And let's see the person whose God is God. Amen. Now we're in that time now in the church where we need God is raising up a new standard. Yes, so the time of Eli is over. The time of Samuel has come. The time of Saul is over. The time of David has come. But Israel is still halting between two opinions. So there has to be a decisive demonstration of power. That people will know that our God, He is God. So they know the story that we don't have time. You can read it later. That's Bible study. Amen. All right. And then they did their gymnastics. Nothing happened. Then Elijah now did what he did. And I want to look at his actions because they were very deliberate. Very deliberate. Look at verse 30. 1 Kings 18 verse 30. The first thing he said is, he said, come near unto me. And he said, he repaired the altar of the Lord. Now, repairing the altar is your prayer life. As you begin to build your prayer life, what are you doing? You are coming near to God. You are coming near to oversight. Because it's the instructions of oversight that you are following, isn't it? You're not doing it by your own design. You're obeying instructions that people have showed you that this is what works. So you are obeying that, okay? Fine. So verse 31 and 32, he speaks about 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of sons of Jacob, whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be. Look at Jacob becoming Israel through stones. So he's talking there about the epignosis of the Christ life. God gives you the exact, precise, complete knowledge of the principles of how to become like God. Church is not just going to hear good messages. It's going to hear to receive stones. Particular precise revelations that you can believe and practice. And as you practice it, it will change your character. That's what Elijah was doing. That's what he was doing. So that's and it also improves your prayer life. Because you know, the more revelation and understanding you have, the better your prayer life. Because as you are praying, you're no longer praying, you're talking to a person. And you are seeing it like Pastor often exhausts us. You see it in your mind's eye, what God is doing. And many times, when something happens, you say, and that's exactly what I saw in my prayer time. It makes you believe more in prayer. Is that not correct? Am I speaking for myself alone? Fine. So this is what we're saying. So that revelation affects our prayer life, okay? Verse 33 to 35. He says, he laid the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the bullock was laid on the wood. And he said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Next verse. Quick. Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. Do it the third time. What did he do? 4 barrels 3 times. What's that? Very good. Your master is excellent. So 12. Your master. No, he's excellent. So 12 barrels of water. Coming on the bullock, which was on the wood. Christ is the bullock, is our sacrifice. You and I are the wood. He is our head, we are the body. And on top of that, is that water. That water is revelation of the Christ life. Hallelujah. So the revelation of the Christ life is coming to you through Christ. So you have the attitude of the meek and lowly heart. That's where I'm going. You have to have that attitude because that is the Christ life. It says, learn of me. Learn of me. That's the key thing he's talking about there. Learn of me. So it's important. So of course we get revelation. Of course that also means that you have to study. Revelation doesn't come to people that just sit down and are waiting for revelation. You know, you study to show yourself approved, and then God begins to open the word of God to you. Amen. And I want to see verse 36 to 37. Okay. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Notice that I didn't say Jacob. Israel is changed. Amen. Let it be known this day. This is when God can manifest. When Jacob has become Israel. Then we will see. Say, let that be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Next verse. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That's that turning of the heart. Amen. And we see that love in asking Israel to come near brings the glory. Next verse, verse 38. And the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the... You are not reading with me now. And consumed the burnt sacrifice and licked up the water that was in the... Everything was consumed by the glory. When glory comes, brethren, sin is totally gone. Amen. Amen. When I say sin, I mean the effect of sin around us, because we now become conduit channels for the power of God to reach and touch people. Amen. All right, amen. So this is the will of God. Now, the third reason why it's important for us, you know, to have this understanding is that, you know, as God is doing what he's doing, if you neglect habitual repentance and submission to the truth, it opens you up to abounding iniquity. All right? And that leads you to what we call the spirit of the age. And it's around now. A rebellious spirit. Nobody can tell me what to do. Okay, you don't want to do their own thing, you know, and that stony and rebellious heart is prone to satanic deception, because you can easily be deceived, you know. So that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. That's how Samson was deceived. We won't say more than that. When Samson had left the truth habitually, how come that Delilah could not afflict him? You can. Bible says that when a wise man falls, I can't remember, but it talks about then when the righteous falls for the wicked, it's like a corrupt fountain and a troubled spring. Ordinarily, light is stronger than darkness. Love is stronger than hatred. Love, do you understand? Wisdom is stronger than foolishness and wickedness. Do you understand what I mean? But if it's troubled, if there are problems there, then of course the evil can come upon. So of course you're not going to do this in Jesus' name. I'm just mentioning it so that it's important for you to know that you really don't have a choice. Amen. That's what happened to Lot. He didn't have a choice, but he thought he had a choice. So when he now did what he did and thought he had a choice, then he now reaped the consequences of his choice. But we're going to make the right choice in Jesus' name. Amen. Now how do we do this? Well, we know it. Diligent use of the blood, the word, and the spirit. But, you know, we've been well taught, so I'm not going to go over all that. Just crystallize on two or three instructions. The blood. Look at Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. The blood. How do we do this? Now the God of peace. Let's read it together. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you what? You are good to be perfect. That's your portion. in every good work to do what? Not your own will. Not your own modification of his will. To do exactly his will. Now, of course, you grow in the will of God. There's good will, there's acceptable will, there's perfect will. But your aim is always for perfect. Don't aim for acceptable when you know that perfect is available. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Amen. All right. Make it better in every growth to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing, what? In his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You can initiate this in your life. You don't have to wait for a feeling for God to come to you. You can call on God and God will come. How can you call on God and God will come? Judge yourself. If you examine yourself, don't condemn yourself. Because God doesn't want you to condemn yourself. Amen. God doesn't gain anything from you being condemned. He wants to save you from the sin. It's not about a pity party. It's not about crying and weeping. It's about responding to God. God, I made a mistake. I'm very sorry. And I want to make sure this does not happen again. Help me. That will bring God to the table. Amen. So it's very important. So, and I recommend this. This is in our book, the white book that we have, you know, Perfecting the Love of God. You know, once every day, you forsake your sins. Don't just confess, repent, and forsake your sins by practicing the word with a continual determination and giving all diligence to stop sinning and so receive mercy to triumph over the judgment for these sins. You have to say it by faith. Say it. And as you are saying it, you are meditating on it. You are thinking on it. It affects, it helps you. Amen. Also, every day, that book also, pages 1 to 4, self-judgment. When you judge yourself, you condemn the wicked actions, not yourself, and you ask God for mercy to enable you, and you pray in the Spirit. So you do that, you have that picture of yourself, you know, turning away. Just think in your mind, you know, the whole of yesterday, what did I do? What did I do? You know, those things, and repent, and forsake, and turn away. Amen. Very important. You know, then we now go and set our will. First of all, we bind the devil, and then we now set our wills and determine to do the will of God. You know, it's long confession, but again, faith calls those things that are not as though they are, and they become. And I like the last part of that confession, in all honesty and humility. Very important, because that's the integrity of heart that connects you to the power grid. Amen. Very important. Okay, so we need to do that. Then the next prayer. So there's the first prayer is a prayer where you judge yourself. The second one is a prayer where you set your will. And the third one is a prayer where you submit your will. Not all the same. I submit myself to God. Because without God, I can't survive. And I submit myself to those in authority over me. My parents, my pastors, my fathers. No, my fathers, my parents, my pastors. In that order. Very important to say those things. Because without them, I cannot survive. Physically, and progress spiritually. Then I submit to those who are under me. It's very important. Submission is key. It's part of being able to go. It makes your heart. Submission means the degree to which you submit is the malleability of your heart. And as you go from the outer court into the holiest of all, your heart must become more and more malleable, soft, quick to repent, quick to repent, quick to forsake, quick to forgive, quick to obey. Amen. Then next, you respond to the word. The word. Look at Philippians 4, 8 to 9. Philippians 4, 8 to 9. Quickly. This word is the word coming from fathers. All right. Who give us the whole counsel of God. So it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are poor, whatever, pure, whatever things are lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Go to verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So the things that you have learned and received and heard, they are the things that you meditate upon, that are honest, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely. is the love of God. It's the word of God. The whole counsel of God, that is the love of God and the word of God. Amen. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. The Bible also tells us in James 3:17, I won't turn there. The Bible says, the wisdom that is from above. Because what you want to get out of God's word is the wisdom of God for every situation. Amen. Remember our decisions, our relationships, our priorities, our habits. You know, so you are looking, you want to distill that word to get the wisdom, the mind. But this is, will tell you if the wisdom you are getting is from God or not. What's on the Bible? The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then is peaceable, then is gentle, then is easy to be entreated or yielding to God. The one version, the New King James, talks about yielding to God. Okay, so it's full of mercy and of good fruits. And without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is wisdom. This is how to distill that wisdom in your everyday life. By a heart of submission. And a heart of determination to do the will of God. Amen. And then of course, finally, praying in the Spirit, by the Spirit. You know, Jude 20:21, Bible says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So two things there. You're praying, but you're looking. Doing both. How are you looking? In your mind. Remember I said mind. Everything is important. So your mind is important. When you're praying the Spirit, don't. I mean, there's sometimes when you can pray the Spirit and you're doing things. That's important. But when you're doing concentrated prayer, it's important to focus on what you're doing. Amen. Keep your phone aside. Hello. If you know, we know ourselves now. If you know anything is going to disturb you, plug it in another room. It's for 1 hour. The phone will not die. Anyway, it doesn't have any life in itself. So I mean, everything can wait for that 1 hour. And then after that, you can go back and pick it up and do whatever you need to do. Amen? But to be praying and to be... They can start it alone. It's irreverent. Hello? I know it because it's your closet. You know, think nobody can see you. God sees you. And he sent me to tell you that he's irreverent. So stop it. God will help us in Jesus' name. Keep it on silent. Keep it away from you. And pray. Sanctify your prayer time. Let it be important. Put your heart on it. And then meditate. Have a picture of what you're doing. Again, your mind. Your mind is involved in prayer. So you're looking for mercy. You're looking for what you're praying about. You're thinking on. You're praying in faith. And then your prayer begins to bring forth fruit in our lives. Amen. Remember to watch and pray when you walk in the Spirit. You know, 6 hourly. And you set your time. And when you do 6 hourly and you're doing that consistently, then you can take it even closer now. Do it 3 hourly. Yeah. What's wrong with that? Perfect. Just 3 hourly. 2 hourly. After about every hour. Yes. And you enter into the veil, the fullness of salvation. Let us pray. Amen. Give God the glory. Let's pray. Talk to God. Repent. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Walk on those little foxes. Bring order into your life. Bring purity. Those things that you have refused to question because of public opinion. You have to talk to God about them now. You can't make a stand outside. Make a stand inside your closet with your God. First of all, renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Refuse to walk in craftiness. If the whole world is doing it, you should not be doing it. We should be reproving those works of darkness. And we can, because we are dead to sin and we are alive to righteousness. Repent. Now you can do that properly, your will. And then keep your mind repentant. As you watch and pray all throughout the day, keep your mind stayed on Him, on love. And our help will come from the Lord. Here I am waiting. Abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Father, I thank you for your word that you have sent to me today, admonishing me to respond moment by moment to the truth that you reveal to me in what I hear, in what I see, in what is going on around me, to respond to the truth. Help me, Father, from today, as I choose and determined to forsake evil anywhere I see it in my life, and to yield to the truth that you send to me. Help me to walk in sincerity. Help me to walk in prompt obedience. Help me to keep my heart, my mind with all diligence, so that I will draw closer and closer to you in the holiest of all, that I might come within the veil and have power, strength to fulfill all your good pleasure. in and through me. I ask for help. My help comes from you. Help me, Father, to fulfill my destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rasakako king alama mosefe rakak rana levesa rana levesa rana lade rana besonde jafreker bonenan rusamante rinaman. I will rise.